Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, May 26, 2025. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 99, the third paragraph. Today's readers are Jan S. on the 12 steps. Patricia C. will read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Lou Ann C. will read the text. Ann S. C. H. will read our closing, and Eileen M. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Larry G. and Becca R. will share announcements today. The reference numbers for yesterday's special edition, May 25th, 22,464, 22464. And this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,465, 22465. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jan S. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Jan S., as in Sam, from California, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service this month, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Jan S. from California. And I will now ask Patricia C. from North Carolina to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. For OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
And thank you so much, Patricia C., for serving. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 99, paragraph 3. I will now ask Lou Ann C. from Idaho to read for us. Thank you, Lou Ann.
Thank you, Jody. Good morning, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Lou Ann C., recovered compulsive overeater in Boise, Idaho. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has his family back. This just isn't so. In some cases, the wife will never come back for one reason or another. Remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. We have seen men get well whose families have not returned at all, and we've seen others slip when the family comes back too soon. So in my sponsoring, I can't really relate to this particular situation where, you know, they're saying that, you know, they have to have the whole family put back together. But what this paragraph addresses for me is the idea that someone can't recover unless and until outside circumstances are peaceful and stable and predictable. And that's in the addict's view when they get that way. But someone will say the job is too hectic, you know, the business is too demanding, there's family conflict, and when those are settled, then they will be able to work the program and be abstinent. But what my experience was that when I got abstinent and worked the program, the outside circumstances settled down as I became a better partner, mother, sister. Financial chaos settled down as I faced my skewed relationship to money that I used to eat over. You know, as I become more emotionally sober, everything is settling down. You know, my dad used to always say, you know, get your priorities straight. And this program, starting with my surrender, did that for me. This gift of a power greater than myself is in first position now. You know, God is in number one position now. And developing that relationship is the most important priority in my life. And all the other problems are settling into their proper perspective. And all I have to do is keep applying the principles on a daily basis, and I rock steady. And I have the hope of peace and normal functioning, and I can maintain my recovery. And if you're new, I hope you hear something today that makes you curious and want to know more and come back, because there is a solution here. And I'm so grateful for that. So I hope you have a great abstinent day. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Luann C. from Idaho. Okay, I'd now like to take a list of names of people who'd like to share on this paragraph, page 99, the last paragraph. Before I do, I'll just remind everyone that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph today?
Wendy B.
Maria C.
Wendy.
Maria B.
I think I heard a Nora.
Maria C.
So, gotcha, Maria. I got Wendy, Maria, Nora, and Veronica. Who did I miss?
Did you get Ginger M?
No, didn't get you Ginger. Gotcha now.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, Wendy B., Arizona, Maria C., Nora, Veronica, and Ginger. Please take it away, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And it says, you know, in some cases, the wife will never come back for me for one reason or another. And this is like a good reminder that, you know, I have no control over what another person's choices, you know, what they decide to do, what they feel is right. And, you know, and I can't change another person to become what I think I need them to be. You know, when my husband continues to overeat and his snacking at night starts to bother me, then my only option, you know, is to remove myself from the situation and, you know, and deal with my own feelings. You know, no amount of nagging will get him to change. You know, it only builds up a resistance in him. And, you know, the only thing I can do is to set a good example, you know, and to live in recovery myself. And, you know, to get to a place where I can be neutral around his snacking again. And, you know, and my recovery is not dependent on what he is or isn't doing to support me. You know, my recovery is dependent on my relationship with God. And, you know, when I set myself up with expectations of how he should or shouldn't behave, you know, I'm setting myself up to be resentful, you know, and I need to accept the fact that he never change. He may not be capable of change. And, you know, and I need to take my disappointment and my unrealized expectations, you know, to God. Feel my feelings of loss and grieve them and accept reality. You know, this is adjusting myself to what is. And then I can focus on the things about him that I do appreciate, you know, and I can be grateful that we can do life together peaceably and, you know, we can have God's grace for each other's flaws. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Maria C., where are you calling from, please?
Hey, everybody. My name is Maria C. in California. Really happy to be here this morning, you know, and I think I'm too, like, reading this paragraph. Yes, it's still working with others and, like, you know, look at me, I'm a sponsor. But I'm thinking about how I can apply this paragraph as an addict, as
an alcoholic with food as a sick person. And just for me, I was so isolated that I didn't have any of those things at all, the family, the partner, none of that. And I never was going to, as long as I was in the food. So when I sponsor people, I don't have that experience to share. But what I do have now is after over two years of recovery, I have a life partner and I have his stepkids around. And all of a sudden, I'm learning how to work program in a different way, you know, and it can be tempting sometimes to be like, oh, I don't need to talk to my sponsee because I need to be with, you know, this child. Oh, I need to do this. You know, it's like the opposite now. It's like now that I have these things, it's like, you know, it's tempting to put program on the back burner, but that will not work. This paragraph says it, everything says it. I need to keep working and putting program first. And my recovery is not dependent upon anyone. If they leave, I can be abstinent, but also when new people come into my life, I can still prioritize program and be abstinent. Them coming in doesn't need to change my relationship with God. Thanks for listening. I pass.
Thank you for sharing. Maria C. from California. Nora, I didn't get your initial nor your state.
Hey, it's Nora D. I'm from New York.
Hi, Nora. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Nora, compulsive eater. Yeah, it's good to hear everybody, and I just wanted to speak up because I've been struggling a bit, but I've been doing a lot of the spiritual work. Like, I've been doing evening reviews, and I do try and turn it around, like, any ways that I, you know, blame people. Or for me, like, person I've been working with said to me, you're using the food to be the center of attention. And when you don't get to be the center of attention, you know, you go into self-pity or, and it's true. Like, when I pray for the selfishness to be removed, I do find joy with people. I do a lot of service. Like, but I'm at a place where I'm really having to surrender step one, transitioning from a very specific food plan to somebody said to me, when it stops working anymore. And I think that has been the challenge for me, is trying to understand, like, am I in relapse from that program, or does God want me just to be in OA and to have a new level of recovery? And so my whole system of what my recovery was and what I thought abstinence was is having to be changed. So obviously I'm just praying for God to give me clarity, and I'm trying to practice faith regardless, you know, because I could use this as a reason to, the weird thing is my life is going well because of the tools of the program, because even though I keep picking up every few days, and I still can't figure out what my food plan is. Like, I'm just not clear about what my abstinence is. So if anybody has experience with this, of transitioning, they had a long-term abstinence, I had 7.5 years back-to-back, and having a specific idea of their abstinence and then transitioning, and that process of getting back a sense of, like, God's clarity, I would really appreciate outreach. Thanks.
And thank you so much, Nora D. from New York. Veronica, may I have your initial and state, please?
Hi, I'm Veronica B., like, blessed, from California, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service. It's so good to be on the line. Yes, I'm going to focus to a really good sharing. I was on the earlier meeting also.
I'm going to focus on let the alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has his family back. Let him know. Let no alcoholic say that he cannot recover unless he has his family back. And then I says it is remind this prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. Boy, oh boy. When I, first of all, before I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I was dependent on everybody else. I needed everybody else to take care of me. I did not make my own decisions. I let others make decisions for me. I felt safe that way. The food was a safety place for me. My thinking was, I'm going to live my life and let other people take care of me. So my dependence on people was pretty strong when I came into Overeaters Anonymous. And, I was so desperate when I was new. Desperation is the is what's needed, okay? And I was desperate to live a different way of life. I was eating and throwing up every day. And I was doing it for 15 years, and it was an exhausting way of living. It was a secretive way of living. It was a lonely way of living, and I finally had gotten to the point where I got sick and tired of living that way, and I came to Overeaters Anonymous, and I was so desperate that I was willing to do it somebody else's way. And I just started taking this woman's suggestion, and she took me through the Big Book, and my obsession to eat, purge, and binge was lifted. It was lifted during the process. And I got this relationship with the God of my understanding. I started to understand this way of life. And then I started sponsoring. And really, I don't have to convince anybody of anything. I just have to guide them so that they can have their own spiritual awakening. And that is my time. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you. Good day.
Thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Ginger M., it's your turn.
Thank
from
you.
New York.
Thank you for your service, everyone. What a beautiful day, a beautiful way to start the day. So, yeah, I used to sort of in a sneaky way, I would say, well, I can't start working with my sponsor this week because there's a luncheon coming up in a couple of days, and that's going to be too difficult for me to be abstinent. And so, yeah, I realize that recovery does not need to rely on and shouldn't rely on external circumstances. And God willing, I'll be starting the steps this week with my sponsor, with a new sponsor. And I gave a little thought to like what was going to be happening this week. There's a luncheon, but I'm probably not going to go to it. And I have looked up, you know, certain foods that they serve there that I know, according to my nutritionist, how much of what I can have. But for other reasons, I'm probably not going. But this reading just reminds me and helps me to have a goal of relying on God and not people, and doing the steps with someone and all of that is wonderful, but the crux of it is to learn to rely on God. And when things don't turn out the way I expect, I try to tell myself, you know, that this is God's will and that's what's best for me. And sometimes I just say it, and sometimes I say it I can actually feel it. Sometimes when it's something positive, then of course it's easier. Even easier for me to say this is God's will, and when it's not, then takes me a little while, but you know, maybe 15 minutes or something like that. I don't get as upset because I know to tell myself that this is God's will, even if I don't understand it. And so I plan with God's help to go through the steps and complete the steps and increase my reliability on God. It's not a new concept to me. You know, I've been on a spiritual path for a long time, but I haven't reached that at all. But that's my goal, and hearing this reading helps strengthen that goal of mine. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much. Ginger M. from New York. We have time, plenty of time for more shares. And we are on page 99, the third and last paragraph. Let no alcoholic say he can't be sober unless he has his family back, sharing on that one paragraph. Who else would like to share?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Virginia N.
Virginia N.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
And Jeff A.
Who was that?
Jeff A.
Jeff A. Okay, let's go with that group. I've got Deborah G., Virginia N., Kathleen O., Jordan L., and Jeff A. Please take it away, Deborah.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you again so much for your service. And everyone making this meeting possible, and everyone share 12-step with me today. And welcome, welcome to any newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here. And I just had a couple thoughts with that dependence on God. I continue to learn that when I do my spiritual practices throughout the day, in the morning, you know, the AM prayer and the evening prayer at night, and doing the step work, 10, 11, and 12, you know, doing my inventory throughout the day and working with others, being with others. All those things I find help me for the times, not only with family, but anyone in my life that isn't on the same page as I am with my food. And I find that I see things differently with others when they're in their food or eating something that I used to eat and no longer eat. Or when I have experiences with my partner, I serve meals to family in St. Vincent de Paul, and we do the salad bar, and doesn't understand my way of eating, and it doesn't understand why I can't sample something. just all these little things. And it just, I can understand him and where he's at better because I have that connection and that dependence on God, and know that what I'm doing is what I need to be doing, so that I can be of service to other people. I wouldn't be able to be of service serving those meals if I was in the food. I'd be so caught up either in the mental obsession about the food because I'm doing it, or caught up in the food. It's just, that was an awful place to be. And I want to, you know, clear that away, those obstacles that keep me from that, so that I can love people where they're at. And when others ask me about my food, maybe they notice something with my food, I can be there for them and share my experience, strength, and hope. I can carry a message to them if needed. And so, yeah, just keeping myself in fit spiritual condition and the dependence. I love those words, dependence on God. My sponsor says stay connected to God, you know, to saturate myself in God. I love that. I love that experience when I can remember. Have a beautiful holiday, everyone.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Virginia N., where are you from, Virginia?
Good morning. This is Virginia from Virginia, Southwest Virginia. Thank you for your service, and I really appreciated all the shares I've been hearing. I listened to the first meeting, too, earlier. The dependence upon his relationship with God, I always, you know, getting into recovery, there was, people have already shared, there just never seemed to be the right time because of an event or because of a vacation or because of something, you know, like life isn't perfect. And I just had to make that decision that I wanted to be abstinent, stay abstinent, be willing to work the steps. And it's amazing when I have the willingness to do everything, it works. I fit it into my life. Sometimes I have to get up an hour earlier in the morning to make that 6:30 phone call or receive the 6:30 phone call. And sometimes I might not be able to do other things because I need to call someone, another fellow, to share my 10th step or be here to receive a call. And to believe, you know, to really know that the important thing is my relationship with my higher power. And when everything is going my way, you know, it's always easy to have that faith, but it's when something doesn't go the way I expected that I still have that faith that it is the right thing, and I'll realize down the road why it is. And yesterday I had extremely disappointing news about something I thought that was going to happen, and it is disappointing, but I'm so grateful I'm at a place now where I accepted it. I thought, you know, then that must not have been the right thing that was supposed to happen, and I trust that if I take the next steps and that the right person will come along to make this happen, you know, that it will happen. And I shared with my sponsor this morning, and I loved that she said, you know, sometimes rejection is God's protection. And I had never heard of that, and I really like that because, you know, this idea that I had that it was going to happen didn't. You know, it was rejected, and I thought for sure it was a great thing. But I like that just means there's another situation that's supposed to happen, and I'm so grateful that I truly believe that. And also, I didn't think about food. You know, like I had my regular dinner, I had my snack last night, and food never entered into a thought of, wow, something sweet would make me feel better, because that would have been before being abstinent, I would have turned to the food. So I'm grateful that I'm in a better place and that I do have that connection with my higher power. And if I'm willing to, you know, to keep working my program to the best of my ability, that will continue. So thanks for letting me share, and have a good day. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Virginia N. from Virginia. Kathleen O., please go ahead.
Good morning, Jody. Thank you for doing the meeting this morning, and good to hear everybody shares this morning. Kathleen O. from California, recovered compulsive overeater. And so our recovery isn't dependent on people or feelings or circumstances. When this book says, let no alcoholic, .. I mean, if we think we can't do it because our family isn't with us, or our family is with us and are challenging, or we have the wrong job, or, you know, whatever, there's dozens of reasons. Are we really ready for this? Because if we're ready, none of that's going to matter, because we will find recovery with a connection with a higher power. You know, God, Mother Nature, the universe, nothing human is going to do it. It's something greater than us. And as long as I continue to have that relationship with my higher power and nurture it and connect with it on a daily basis throughout the day, it doesn't matter what's happening around me. I'm going to have recovery and I'm going to be happy. And, you know, I've had a lot of challenges, but I'm happy and I'm content. And I'm happy with the food that I eat. It keeps me healthy and, you know, working the steps and cleaning up my side of the street when I need to. And I do find that I'm less likely to judge and criticize and have to make amends because I can just accept people and life on their terms. And there's always good in everything, and that's what I try to look at. And I wake up happy, and I go to bed happy. And all I can say is this is an amazing program, and anybody can do it if they're ready and they can get a connection with something greater than them and nurture that connection and grow that connection. And I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. from California. Jordan L., take it away.
Hey, good morning, Jody. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. And thanks, everyone, for all the wonderful shares this morning. It's funny. This is like... It's talking about like early on in someone's recovery, you know, and early on in recovery is it's pretty stressful, or at least it was for me. Like as a compulsive overeater, I'm putting down the food, like this thing that has been there and been my best friend and my confidant, and I've had this like ongoing relationship with food for decades. And as a newcomer, I'm putting that down and trying something completely new, completely different, you know, because at that point the food had completely turned on me. And it was destroying anything else in life that I cared about, right? So it's a lot. Like it's a big transformation to undergo. And there's just no way I could do that on my own. Like there's just no way I could do that without the demonstrations folks that have done it before, that are actually like living examples of what it means to recover with regardless of anything else, regardless of who's in your life or who's not in your life, or what resources you have at that point in time or you don't or whatever. There's just no way, like, you can't possibly fathom what that looks like when you're new in recovery unless you have like a real life demonstration of it in front of you. So it just makes me think about how important it is to have recovery. You know, like even in the beginning, I'm obviously not recovered. I'm working through the steps, but to have that recovery in my life through other people, you know, while I'm developing this relationship with a higher power, with the God of my understanding, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jordan. Jeff A., where are you calling from?
Hi, Jeff A., California. It's kind of this meeting's really helpful for me. I come pretty much every day. And it's good to have different voices. My son and I are estranged, and I don't even know why. Last year, he just kind of stopped talking with me, and I've done everything I can do, but if he's not willing to tell me what the issue is, then there's nothing for me to do, you know what I mean? And I really need to, and I've been praying to let God take this away from me. Of course, not in the, I mean, I'd love it to the end. That's not going to happen. But I have my own life, and actually I enjoy my life. And so it's, hopefully he decides to come back at some point, and I can't control any of it. Each person makes these two choices, and like maybe he doesn't even know how to come back, or maybe he doesn't want to come back. I don't know. But I still want to have my food sobriety, and I do have it. Today, yesterday, I've had it, but it's been a challenge. And I really got to look at what's really, I got to let go of what I can, because otherwise I'll be crazy about it. It'll be bad. I've got this thing that I remind myself every morning. I will no longer decide what someone else feels before I decide what I feel. I will respond rather than react, and I will have a good day no matter what anyone else says or does. And it's just very important for me that I remember that regularly and work the program like my hair is on fire. And it's been working for me painfully, though, at times. Okay, that's it.
Thank you so much, Jeff A. from California. We have time for a couple more shares. Who else would like to share? We're on
Margo from New York.
Margo?
From New York. Yes, from New York.
Gotcha, Margo. And Suzanne, let's go with those two. Please go ahead, Margo, and the initial of your last name?
B from New York. Hi. Amazing how this all works. So the purpose of the big book, the steps, all this work is for me to have a relationship with God of my understanding. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, I struggled so long to have God of my understanding. And I'm reading it and it's like completely relied on the outside rather than the internal journey. And I recognize the word relationship. So I come from, tell me what to do and I'll do it. Whether I had a relationship with you or not, a complete, just tell me what to do. I just did not want to be accountable or responsible for my own life, my choices. So terrified, right? Self-centered fear. And then it says right here, how many times have I read this? It's amazing. That remind the process that his recovery is not dependent upon people. Is dependent upon his relationship. It's my relationship with God. For the longest time, surrendering God. But then who is God in my life? It's a relationship. It's the to and fro. It's the praying, the meditating. It's this connection. It's this intimate relationship that I must have with God. It's not just like throwing it up in the air and seeing what happens. It's no, it's really having a connection on a deep level, and it just has to continue. For me, it has to continue to grow, and the only way it can continue to grow is continue to do the work. So I'm just very grateful for everybody on the line and all the comments around the room. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Margot B. from New York. Suzanne, what is your initial and state, please?
Hi, this is Suzanne D., as in dog, from Pennsylvania, and I am This is the first time I'm sharing since I've been back to vision. After a 5-year relapse, I have about 3 weeks of abstinence, which is a miracle. And just feeling like I'm working with a sponsor and, you know, in that what they refer to as the hospitalization period. But this this paragraph really spoke to me because I've been in and out of OA for 20 years. And my whole time, you know, really struggling with my codependence, which is, you know, making other people more important, looking for that approval and that validation, and putting those relationships before my recovery. And I've done that my whole life, you know, since I was a child, actually lost myself in those relationships. And right now, you know, I'm really prioritizing my abstinence and my OA program, which takes up a lot of time. And, you know, so I don't have that time to focus out there on those relationships. I don't have it. And it feels really uncomfortable. And I do have a relationship with a higher power. But I do really need to work the steps and have a new experience, because all the other times, like those relationships, they just always won out, and I relapse. And so for now, I'm really trying to keep the focus on me. And, you know, it feels uncomfortable. And and like somebody else shared, which I really appreciate, like this is a hard time and a very uncomfortable time. And I have to be willing to feel that discomfort and just keep one day at a time working this program. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you for sharing, Suzanne D. from Pennsylvania. Well, we're about out of time for sharing. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book from page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, Jody. This is NSCH. I was designated to read from page 164.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You're right.
That's okay. This has been a wonderful month, Jody. Thank you so much. So my name
Absolutely.
Is Ann S. Yeah, thank you. So my name is Ann SCH. I'm from BC, Canada, and this is page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.